Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. I'm Greg Sankey, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio, and thank you for joining with me for another episode. Please forgive me for not getting some of these things out. And we've been on, the Facebook got hacked, then we went on a missions trip, and then we got sick, and it's just been a whirlwind of a month, believe it or not, but been so excited to get back into our conversation, and really the subject of purgatory. And we have talked about salvation, faith, works, and now we are on purgatory, and I hope that these are a help to you, and to kind of get your mind stirring up a little bit and to think a little bit and really to help us have a greater understanding, a deeper understanding of Scripture when it comes to eternal life and how to have eternal life and to really have a secured knowledge of our eternal life instead of a hope, so kind of a salvation. But I'm glad that you're with me today and certainly hope that this will be a challenge to us. We're just going to get right into it, okay? And certainly, I don't want to take a lot of time with a lot of preliminaries. So here we go. All right. The big question is, what is purgatory and is it real? We are kind of, in our previous episodes, we kind of looked at this and began to discuss this. But the question really comes to, is this a real place? I mean, is it biblical? Is it something that Christ taught? Is it something that is found in Scripture without question, without, you know, trying to rearrange some other verses to make it work? Does this purgatory really exist? Now, the only religion that believes in this type of a doctrine is the Roman Catholic Church. And again, my background is Roman Catholic. And so I'm very, very sensitive to how to explain this and to not come off so, so offensive. And I don't want that. I want us to look at the Bible and think about this because it's very important. It's so important, as a matter of fact, that your eternal life weighs in this. All right. If you believe one thing and it's not right, then I'm sorry. Heaven is not your home. So we want to make sure that we understand this. Now, again, the Catholic Church is the only one that believes in this type of a teaching. No other religion believes in a purgatory. There are other religions that believe in, you know, reincarnation and so on and so forth. But when it comes to purgatory, only the Catholic teaching and the Catholic Church and tradition teaches this. And as a Baptist, you know, we take the Bible literally, and even as what Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and then verse number 8. For those who are really saved, those who have truly trusted the Lord as their personal Savior, knowing that they are a sinner and He is the Savior, and through that, if you like to read John chapter 3, it explains it in a powerful way to a man who is very, very religious by the name of Nicodemus. So that's in John chapter 3. So if those who are truly born again go into the presence of the Lord, then what is or even why have purgatory? Good question, isn't it? Some would say it is a state of being, all right? Some Catholics will say, well, this is a state of being. And by the way, as I studied this, several different clergymen and priests and those that are speaking on the subject do not always agree, all right? There is even some contradiction in their belief in this of what it is and so on and so forth and the punishments that go there, and it's just very, very confusing. Now, those that go into purgatory, these are those that supposedly die in the grace of God's friendship. Now, very, very important that you understand some of the terminology that the Catholic Church will use. They'll say that the initial grace of salvation or in the God's friendship. Now, this means that it is not full salvation. The individual, they are still imperfected in their sins and in the grace of God according to the standards of the Catholic Church, not according to the standard of the Bible, but according to the standard of the Catholic Church. Now, they also say that it makes very much sense. It makes logical sense that there is a requirement of purification. And certainly where nothing impure, nothing imperfect can go into heaven. And we know that. We understand that. that sin cannot enter into heaven, that, you know, in the sense of our righteousness, it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. And even Ephesians 5:5, they use this passage to speak of an individual that cannot go into heaven. However, in some degree, they are correct because, no, this individual in Ephesians 5:5 cannot go into heaven because they are an unregenerate man, one who is not truly saved, all right? So naturally, God would not accept them into heaven without having his son, the righteousness, the redemptive work, the purification that Christ gives those that have that absent in their life. No, they cannot get into heaven. Yet, according to the Catholic Church, this initial grace, this friendship of God, they are holy. These individuals are holy, and even though they are not yet perfect, they'll use that kind of terminology, that description, but they're on their way to heaven. So what they're saying is these would be described as poor souls, all right? And you might hear that they may use that terminology, they may use that definition, poor souls, because these individuals who have supposedly died in the initial grace of Christ, in the friendship of God, these are poor souls that are now being suffered or having some kind of a suffering to some extent in purgatory because of their stains of sin that have not been dealt with fully. Repentance has taken, repentance has taken place or forgiveness has taken place, but penance has not taken place. In other words, you have to do something in order to regain your status in salvation. And this is recognized through the Catholic Church. They would be unclean, they'd be impure, they would not be perfect in Christ, and so therefore penance has to take place, all right, in order for your sins to be forgiven, okay? Now, the problem is this type of teaching is very confusing and a misconception of Christ's full atonement on Calvary. Though the Catholic Church teaches that they die in the friendship of God, yet they are still stained with a sin. Even though the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2 that Christ died for all of our sins. Now, if we understand the Bible in the fullness of salvation, we are no longer under the condemnation or under the judgment of sin upon true salvation, upon true confession of Christ, and the realization that I cannot do one thing to get to heaven. I cannot help God. I cannot accommodate God. I cannot add to God's work. I cannot add to Calvary. I cannot add to the cross. I cannot do anything, all right? Because we are sinners. And God required a sinless sacrifice, which is Christ. And upon receiving salvation, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, there is no eternal punishment or judgment because we are now found in the righteousness of Christ. Well, what about the consequences of sin? All right, we sin on this earth. There's no doubt that we sin on this earth. You'll sin today. I'll sin today. Are there consequences that we have to deal with or penance that has to take place? And how does this all work? All right, so when I come before the Lord, and the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, that does not mean that there is never a consequence to our sin. Certainly there are consequences to our sins, some greater consequences, some lesser consequences, and even Scripture says that he that confesseth and forsaketh, the Lord will even have mercy. Now, it is up to God in his righteousness, in his judgment as our Father, to either bring about the consequences of our sin or to have wonderful mercy and grace through the forgiveness of God that we may not even experience a consequence of sin. All right? Well, for instance, if I yell at someone in my car and because of their driving and then I come to the Lord and say, I misused my tongue and I'm sorry, please forgive me. That was a poor testimony. Doesn't mean that I'm now going to suffer a consequence, all right? It means that I broke my fellowship with Christ in sin, and that is certainly a consequence. But upon receiving forgiveness, I restored that. Now, the contradiction between the Catholic Church dogma and the Bible is this. Salvation is a partial in the Catholic teaching, all right? It is partial. And in order to complete it, it rests upon the individual suffering for a period of time in an unknown time, the length of time, in a place called purgatory. However, salvation is permanent in Scripture, and it all rests upon the payment of our sins on the cross by our Savior, for God required him as the very Lamb of God to be the sacrifice to fulfill it, which man is not able to be that sinless sacrifice. We are not able to complete it. Now, these individuals that we would describe, or the Catholic Church would describe as poor souls in this supposedly place called purgatory, are under enormous punishment, all right? They are also found some, again, here the discrepancy is they are in great punishment, they are in great torment, they are under great scrutiny by the judgment of God, and yet at the same time there is a joyfulness, there is a delight in knowing that what they go through, they will then in a period of time in the future, knowing that God is going to meet them and God's hand is on them. And so, therefore, it brings about some kind of a joyfulness in knowing that I am suffering my sins for my sins, that yet I will one day meet God without my sin. All right? So, apparently, there is a penalty that needs to be fully paid by an individual, not by Christ, but by the individual themselves in a place called purgatory, where there is no scriptural reference or teaching anywhere in the Bible that speaks of such things. All right? So there is a discrepancy between the Catholic Church and the teaching of the Bible. All right? Now, the Catholic Church, they believe that we are to suffer for our sins and not Christ. Now, Christ suffered for the initial sin, for the Adamic sin, for that generated sin passed down from Adam. Christ died for. However, the sins that we commit in this life, we have to pay for. We've been given the initial grace of salvation that Christ died for that Adamic sin, yet our sins we have to pay for through penance on this earth or eventually then purgatory, all right? We have to suffer for our sins. This is the belief of the Catholic Church. However, the Bible speaks that Christ suffered for our sins because he became sin for us, all right? And there is a belief in that partial salvation by the Catholics, and this is then completed, salvation is then completed by the individual upon a certain period of time in purgatory under great scrutiny, judgment, and suffering. They also believe in personal punishment after death, all right, a type of purification, something they have to go through in order for their attendants to be in heaven and to go to heaven and therefore to be with God. So there has to be some kind of punishment after death in order to be purified to get to heaven. So it's almost like the vestibule to heaven, and in order to get to heaven, you have to go through this vestibule of purification, of judgment, of suffering, of punishment, in order to be purified and cleansed and perfect in order to get into heaven. Well, again, there is no scriptural teaching on that by Christ or by the apostles, by the prophets, even the pictures and types in the Old Testament. There is nothing that would indicate or that would even allude to such type of thinking. Now, as a Bible believer, we believe in personal eternal life after death. Yeah, as Paul said, to be present or be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And this is through the righteousness of Christ, who purifies the sinner upon salvation, not later on by the sinner's doings. It is through the doing of Christ. So now, there is a question. Well, where is purgatory found in the Bible? And this has been the question throughout the ages, ever since the Catholic Church had started this tradition way back in the 1600s and brought this about. And through the book of Maccabees, 2 Maccabees chapter 12, and through some of the other letters and teachings of the Catholic Church that really contradict Scripture itself, they brought this in. They now believe it and they now practice it. But so where is this place called purgatory? You know, in the Bible, is there at least a teaching that is given? And they do use some teaching. Now, one clergyman said this. He said, not every teaching that we believe as Catholics is found explicitly in the Bible. Wow. So then why would we teach it, all right? If it's not in the Bible, if it's not something according to Scripture, according to God's Word, then why would we want to implement that into our belief, into our standard, and make that a dogma of teaching? The reason we say that is because, well, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. No, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the Trinity is found in the Bible, all right? The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, no, but we use that to define the very truth of what Scripture teaches in many, many passages of Scripture when it talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are one, and they all three are God. There are numerous passages to support that, all right? Even though we may not, if you have eSword or some kind of Bible app and you want to look up Trinity, you type in Trinity and just no place is found, well, apparently that teaching is not there. No, that's not the case. So they're saying basically, since the word purgatory is not found in the Bible, does not mean that it's not there. No, the word purgatory is found in the Bible. It's called purification, but a place called purgatory, a place of suffering, is not in the Bible. Nor is there a reference, nor are there supporting Scripture, nor does Jesus ever say anything about it. Now, purgatory, the existence of purgatory, logically follows two forms of belief. It has to. Now, the individual's imperfection on earth, though the initial grace of God, yet they are bound to suffer for their own sins. So, in order for this belief to take place, and we believe that we have to suffer for our sins, so now let's erect and let's go ahead and construct a place called purgatory in order to appease our need of great purification. And the reason they do this is because there's a requirement of perfection in heaven. So therefore, I cannot get to heaven without being perfect. And certainly they set aside the very true work of God, the atonement of God, and the payment that he had made for all sin. And now they take upon themselves to suffer for their sin. And so now we need to devise a place in order to do this. And so Catholics believe that they must pay for their own sins. And it only makes sense to create some kind of a belief system in order to appease the conscience, in order to appease that soothing arena that maybe someday I'll get to heaven, but I have to go through purgatory first, and so therefore I'm not going to go to hell. However, I may go, and very possibly everybody goes to purgatory first to be purified because you're in the friendship of God, you've been baptized into the Catholic Church. Therefore, that initial grace of salvation through baptism is given to you. However, you have to go through a time of punishment, a time of judgment, and great suffering in order to get to heaven. Now, the church gives this name, purgatory, to this final destination as a purification of the elect. And it is entirely different from the punishment of the damned or those that are in hell. And if you ever talk to anybody, everybody would say that, no, I'm on my way to heaven. And only those that are absolutely immoral, have moral sins on them that they are not willing to confess, not willing to take care of penance, they will then be the ones that are in hell. And it's based upon their defiance of their sin, of forgiveness, and the magnitude of their sin dictates whether or not they're going to hell. Now, the tradition of the Catholic Church, they use a reference. They use some of the scriptures that we're going to look at, and they kind of formulated this doctrine years ago in the Councils of Florence and the Councils of Trent, and now they come about this, and they'll use outside of the context, they'll misuse the context in scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then also 1 Peter chapter 1. And these verses are the basis of the Catholic belief of purgatory being a place of suffering, though this is also inconsistent even with their own belief, because some say it's not a physical place, it's a psychological place. And it's just a hodgepodge of teaching that really is a mess. And it's very hard to figure out. And however, this is what the belief is. Now, it does not fit with any of the teaching of Paul's letters, as they use 1 Corinthians 3, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. It does not fit in that. They'll use it out of context. And the point that Paul is trying to make, we're going to look at in the light of the scripture, in the light of the passage, and the meaning of it. And it is not purgatory, all right? It is not purgatory, even though that's what the Catholic Church will use in order to support that belief. Catholic Church tradition is basically we must be pure, we must be clean before we enter into heaven, and therefore purgatory must be experienced. Now, two verses they'll use is Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. All right. Also in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. They'll use that part of the verse, part A and B, but they will not use C. They'll say that you cannot enter into heaven, anything that defileth, anything that it works abomination, making the lie, cannot enter into heaven. So therefore they say, now that's our place that we have to go to in order to no longer be a defilement. We cannot enter into heaven if we are defiled in our own sin, and therefore purgatory must take place. However, they don't read the end of that. The Bible says here, let me read the whole thing, Revelation 21, 27, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but, here's a verse, part of the verse they don't use, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, all right, those are the ones that will enter in. Those are the ones that will go in. It doesn't say anything about the having to take care of their sins before, because Christ, upon salvation, did that. Other verses they'll use to support their tradition, and once again, these are all taken out of context, out of the scripture context, and they twist it to accommodate the philosophy and the belief system that they have been teaching throughout these numbers of centuries. One Catholic priest said, non-Catholics don't believe in pure